Hello, and thanks for listening to the Kept Faith Podcast. I'm Nick McCann. I'm joined by Travis Russell.
Hey, go Padres. Doing pretty good, Nick. It feels weird saying that after these two losses, but that was some pitching. Like, just let it go. So I'm in a good mood. We've won more than we've lost recently, and things are looking okay.
Well, yeah, you know, we haven't recorded since the Padres were right about to make it to first place, and then they made it to first place, and we decided we were going to quit the podcast because our work our work was done, right?
We did it.
And now they're kind of floundering back into second place. So we decided, like, all right, let's get the band back together. They still need us. So we're back without Dallas. Dallas is like, they don't need us. Yeah, no, it's been a fun ride. We took a few weeks off, and I had a lot of fun just kind of taking it all in, having a relevant baseball team in May and June, which is new. Speaking of relevant baseball teams, Orioles fan Andy Keats is on the podcast. It's been a while. So how you doing, Andy?
Fellas, what's up? First place, huh? What's that like? That must have been fun.
Yeah,
like in June? That's crazy.
Yeah. How's your walk with baseball going? You know, you are a Manny Machado fan and you are a Padres fan. You've started a family out here. You have the right to be a Padres fan, but how is it in Orioles Nation right now?
You know, you guys will be familiar with this. We're in the part of the tank rebuild where no one is willing to, and I include myself in this, no one is willing to like stand by the plan anymore. Just all the losing has really taken its toll. And we're beginning to ask very existential questions about like what it is to be a baseball fan if you're going to go along with intentionally losing. And I got into a lengthy debate with some Orioles fans recently about like whether I'm a sucker for paying attention to the minor leagues. They made a compelling take. It's just like, you are a fan of the Baltimore Orioles. You should not make yourself feel better that things are good or happening to the Bowie Bay Sox.
Yeah. So is there a camp that's saying, you know, this is the smart way. We got to tank. We got to lose. This is how smart teams do it. And then is there another camp that's saying we have to build a culture of winning so these younger players know how to win? That's my favorite dichotomy that I remember from that way of life.
Yeah, that's all happening. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. The other part of it is like that, which, you know, I think we saw some of this with the Padres too, that like it's a choice to give up on the idea of just being able to marginally improve every year. Uh-huh. And that like it's remarkable that baseball fans have so bought into the idea that like that's impossible. You can't do that. The only way to ever compete is to just take your money and give you an intentionally dog shit product for five consecutive years. I mean, that's just smart baseball. And so,
everyone has to like burn it down to the ashes. And the only way to rise up is this glorious phoenix out of ashes. You just can't like slowly push your rock up the hill, can you?
Yeah. Like what if you just replaced the worst player on your roster with one who was a little bit better and then just kept doing that all the time.
A whole region of people would just be happier. That's like the right. money buys happiness in baseball. That's the truth.
But the Orioles were on a lengthy losing streak recently, and it got ugly. I would say things boiled over during that losing streak. People lost their patience.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you're out here and, you know, the Padres are a thing. And how fun has that been for you? I mean, we've gone out a few times out in public and seen people are out and they're wearing gear. And it feels like there is a great sports city here that needed a good baseball team to kind of show that. But
the Padres game is on now.
The Padres game's on. There's people wearing hats. There's jerseys everywhere. And it's
great.
It's almost like coming out of a pandemic, you should have a good baseball team. That's a good idea. I don't know.
Yeah, it's great. No, it's fantastic. I mean, I always just kind of thought that San Diego, you know, I didn't live here in 98 or even in the mid 2000s playoff years. But it always just made sense to me that San Diego would be a good baseball town. And sure enough, it is. You know, like, you really do get like the heartbeat of the team. You pick it up just walking around town right now. It's really cool.
I mean, you cover City Hall and a lot of, you know, public affairs issues. Is there a conversation that you have, even when you're talking to like sources or whoever downtown or in that world, is there a coda to the conversations where you guys start talking Padres? Is that increased, would you say? Or
totally. You know, when you're like at like, I don't know, like a family function,
yeah,
or like one of your wife's work events or something, and you end up next to another dude. And it's like, mm-hmm. Well, we'll just talk sports. You know, I don't know exactly what I'm going to do here, but like, we can talk sports.
Yes.
That is totally something that happens in public affairs interviews, where like you don't want to make it so obvious that you're just calling to, in either direction, either them calling you to tell you something or you're calling them to ask them something.
Get the scoop.
You got to make small talk first. Yeah, you got to make small talk first. And so, of course, you talk about what the Padres have done.
Yeah.
Now, what's tricky, though, you could really step in it with like Machado and Hosmer, like two different ways you could go. People might have wildly different opinions on.
Yes. Yeah. What type of Padres fan are you?
Yeah. What type of Padres fan? Am I going to offend you if I criticize Hosmer, or am I going to offend you if I praise Machado?
Right.
Yes. Or I guess that's probably the same.
Yeah. I mean, that the Hosmer thing is brewing. I mean, ever since he's gotten here, there's definitely been a divide amongst people that, you know, they want to believe that he's good. And then the smart, you know, fans kind of seem like they're able to tear that down. And that's going to be a big fight, I think, for the duration of his contract, really. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. They're invested in him not being good too.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, granted, I don't think he's very good. So it's a wise investment, I guess, but they certainly want that to be true as well, I think.
Well, you know, okay. So let's look at the Padres. The Padres are in second place. They're two games back behind the Giants, and we're coming up on a pretty interesting stretch. They're going to, the month of June and July, they're going to be heading up to the trade deadline, and, you know, they're in the mix. What do you guys think they should add at the trade deadline when that comes around, or what should we be looking for them to maybe address? I don't know.
Travis, you got any
DeGrom. I think they should be looking for DeGrom.
Yeah, we should get DeGrom. I think that's a good move. Yeah. Good take. What the hell was that on Saturday?
That was insane. Like, they were marveling that he's only given up four runs. How has he given up four runs?
I know.
How has any team scored on him? It seems like it should be impossible.
Yeah.
It's when, like, you can pinpoint Dustin, the 102 fastball. It's like if Dustin May knew how to pitch, you know? Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah, pitching, like always pitching. I think whether Pomeranz comes back healthy will be a big part of whether I think they really need to add a significant bullpen piece.
Yeah.
You know, another pitcher would be nice, obviously, but I don't know how many top of the rotation starters can you have. And I think like one modest improvement that they need to make, and maybe even very soon, is just another playable outfielder.
Yeah.
They need like a fourth outfielder, somebody who can play better than what they're getting right now when there's an injury, or serving in sort of part-time work once everyone's healthy. They're just, I mean, the Mateo, O'Grady, these guys are not major leaguers, I don't think.
And the Trent Grisham piggyback on that
has been tough. Yeah.
I was going to say, to piggyback on that, the way that Pham seems to be injury prone over the past, like he had that play with Kim where they ran into each other. And then there was this fly ball that he like didn't quite make, and he dove and it smashed him right in the nose or something. And I thought, oh my gosh, he's going to be out again. And then there was another play where he was getting tagged or something and he got smacked in the face. I mean, there was a, he seems like a guy that I mean, I know he's like the second best hitter on the team over the past week, but he's getting bruised a lot.
Tatis gets hurt a lot because he's so wildly dynamic.
Yes.
That he puts himself in harm's way. Pham seems to get hurt all the time because he's so unathletic.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to see. Like, this is the klutz.
It's kind of unbelievable. Like, he's like your friend in the neighborhood when you played pickup sports who always got hurt.
And yes.
Like, you can't go through a series without watching him make some incredibly awkward play that doesn't just result in the ball getting by him or something. It results in some strange injury.
I cringe on it. I'm like, oh gosh, I hope he's not hurt.
The
thing I like about Pham is that just even when he's not really hitting, he's getting on base. He still can work a count. And
yes,
I don't know. I'm pretty, after the whole Margot Hunter Renfro experience, like just having people that can work counts longer than that. I don't know. Now he's actually hitting and you're right. I think you're right. If Pham or Grisham go down, I mean, ideally they would have Pham, Grisham, and Myers be the outfield, but all three of those guys have injury issues that can come up, and Profar is probably not it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and I think you could get a nice fourth outfielder who could spot start when there's injuries. And as you said, I think it's safe to say there probably will continue to be some. But also, like, Pham's not—he's just not good defensively. If you could, and Myers really isn't either. You could have somebody who could be an option as like a defensive replacement late in games when you have a lead in the playoffs, something like that. I can't watch another Jorge Mateo at bat. That dude.
Yeah.
You talk about like how Pham has a really good approach. You know, even when he wasn't punishing the ball, he worked counts and he has good control of the zone. Mateo is the opposite. That dude has no idea up there. He has no idea. He's just flailing.
Yeah, I don't know a scenario like if we were if hopefully we are in a playoff series, but if he's coming to the plate at any point in a real playoff series, like I don't know. That's a failure.
I guess that's what I'm getting at. You like. They have put together a hell of a roster, and it would be a shame to like ignore the bottom of the 25 man roster and allow any appearance by Jorge Mateo in the playoffs, basically.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And the other piece that I think everybody's kind of talking about is that they could just add a serviceable starter who can go seven innings. Maybe he's not lighting the world on fire, but he's a professional starting pitcher. Cause I mean, they only have a couple guys. I mean, Snell went seven innings on Friday, which was, it was thrilling to watch.
Dude, he pitched struggled. A hell of a game.
Yeah. It was thrilling to watch. And he made the final out in the seventh inning, and then we kind of erupted like it was like we won a game seven or something. But you know, that his
I made it seven.
It's a problem that like that's such an accomplishment for him. I think that they are not able to go deep in games, and I think that is something they have to address. They have to get somebody, especially if they're going to have Weathers and Lamette doing the splice game that they've been doing several times, which is cool and working, but it does seem like they need somebody who can just pitch go out and get six or seven innings, maybe not, you know, destroy another team, but like able to do that just to eat up some innings.
Yeah. I mean, there are fewer of those guys out there. I know. Like they don't make many of those anymore. That used to be like a commodity in baseball 15 years ago, these like unspectacular pitchers who would finish the season at a 4.3 ERA, but could reliably throw 200 innings. Like the way they manage pens now, like if you pitch that many innings, it's because you're good and then you're not available, you know?
Yeah. No, I think that's right. But it's going to be an interesting stretch. I mean, we have, you know, the rest of this month in July, and we're going to really see what, you know, the Padres are talking about how they they see themselves as a World Series team. And not to question whether or not AJ Preller will be able to make a move. I mean, he's clearly working. I'm sure he's going to do something, but
I can't imagine he would do nothing, right? It's just so out of character for him. Yeah.
Unless there's just some run of health where Grisham comes back and it's fine and Pham keeps this streak up where he's had a great last month. And, you know, if that holds, I don't know. Right. One thing to watch also is, you know, Tatis isn't really getting a whole lot of protection around him right now. Manny Machado isn't playing up to what we all expect of him and he expects of himself. You guys spent a lot of time watching this national treasure just develop in front of your eyes. I love him to death. And, you know, did he have issues like starting slower in Baltimore? I don't know exactly his trajectory there.
Yeah. He had stretches like this a lot, yeah. Fairly often. And then, he would almost always have followed up. I mean, his career numbers speak for themselves. To have his career numbers. And I'm saying that he had lengthy dry spells. He obviously followed them up with, you know, prolonged stretches where he feasted for a while. So yeah, he does. He has done this, and really his first year in San Diego, he had a rough second half, I believe. Yep. But I'm not especially worried about it. He's another guy, like, he's just so, you watch his plate appearances, he's so in control. Even right now when he's not punishing the ball. He's not punishing mistakes right now, I would say, but he's not lost up there. He's not out of sorts. He totally has an idea, has an approach. He's composed and he's just not quite executing. I'm not especially worried about it though. And beautiful defense every night.
Yeah. I think that's
so smooth. The smoothest defender at third I've ever seen.
Yeah. When you're that gifted both ways, if you're not hitting as much as people expect you to, when you're playing that level of defense and playing shallow right field too, pretty well, yeah. Honestly, which is, I think that kind of, that will always be a upper hand that he has.
Well, and to the third thing, and I want to ring it up because he gets so much flack on social media or whatever for not being a team guy and not hustling or whatever the narrative is, you know, the Manny selfish, whatever the narrative is around him. And since he's been in San Diego, he has shown, at least to me, the exact opposite of that. Like the most team guy, the guy smiling the most when a new rookie gets a first hit. And then to bring, I mean, he's getting credits, correct me if I'm wrong, but the swag chain is his idea, right? Which is like become the most genius rallying, you know, it's a thing that the whole community can get together around. There's people that are in their 80s wearing them at the game, you know, homemade ones. Guys are printing them online. It's like a phenomenon. And it's such a brilliant way of like building like a thing that everyone can rally around. And if he is the one that came up with it, which I've heard, like the intangibles that come with Manny are just unbelievable.
Yeah, you see it. I mean, he's like, not everyone has observable relationships in the dugout, you know, right. Like you can see little Manny friendships with Kim, yes. And with Tatis and with Snell, you know, and it's awesome. It's great. I have to say that I've sort of lost the thread on the Manny narrative. I can't even follow it enough to disagree with it anymore.
Right.
It's like it's written from a parallel universe or something.
Totally. Like you just want to hate the guy. So you just say things that are, just make him up. Like
he has the weird
purple hair. Sure.
He has the weird career trajectory where he pisses off Boston fans. Then he pisses off Dodgers fans. And that's a tough one because that's
which is also
60%
like,
of baseball media is involved in that.
And I said all these nice things about him. And you, what you just said is such a better compliment. I mean, to piss off Dodgers fans and Red Sox fans, my God, sweet prince. Thank you.
Hall of Fame instant.
Yeah.
Brewers fans kind of hate him too.
Brewers fans hate him?
Yeah, because he stepped on the heel on first base thingy.
He's on the Marlins.
Oh, right. I forgot about that one. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, my thing with the swag chain is like, I don't want to know where it came from. I don't want to have any, I just want it to appear and just represent this thing that we have where it does feel like you're either a Padres fan or you're everybody else. That's kind of what it feels like. And people online are really starting to hate the way Major League Baseball is talking about the Padres, like from the MLB account, and just, we are this thing that seems to represent something like changing in the game, honestly, with Tatis being this person who's ushering in this.
Yeah. They're exciting and young and they have personalities and people
we're
are like,
we're like Nirvana. Awesome. That's
yeah. Yeah. That's but, great. Yeah. The swag chain. Yeah. I think it's cool for it to have a little bit of mystique. When the Orioles had their brief, contending run with Showalter and Manny and Adam Jones, the Orioles post game thing was that they did like whenever the player of the game was giving his post game interview, they would pie him in the face, and Adam Jones was like the ringleader behind it. He would always try to hide and turned it into a big thing. And then I think the story is that Mark Trumbo got hit too hard in the face with the pie once. And Mark Trumbo made them stop.
Yeah.
So there's like a vocal like hatred for Mark Trumbo among Orioles fans because he like ended the pie celebration.
And then they lost. Is that?
And then I think Trumbo came out publicly and like there's like stories that are like Trumbo : I am not the reason pie celebration stopped. It's like a whole conspiracy theory that somebody needs to unwind with like a serialized podcast.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, I love the swag chain, and I think it's cool for there to be a little bit of mystique behind it.
Yeah, I mean, baseball funny needs to have a light tone, and it has to be organic. And I mean, we're going to destroy the swag chain. We're going to run it into the ground. I mean, that's just the natural course of things, I think. It's like if you were growing up in Orange County in the early aughts, and you probably
spirit monkey.
Yeah, the rally monkey was cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's not cool, but
it wasn't cool. Yeah. Yeah. I was actually just thinking if any other team was doing the swag chain, I'd probably think it was like really cringy.
I totally agree. It's only good because it's ours.
Which makes me like it even more.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Even though I don't want to be a part of the camp that views this as this like burgeoning problem with MLB, I could see this becoming like a thing where every team adopts. Teams are going to start getting into props, I think.
that's a good bet. Well, because they had the sticks, the rally sticks.
Yeah, that's a big in Asian and, you know, baseball and stuff. Yeah.
And then when they had them, it was like for a while every team had to like slightly alter the concept with their own little thing. I could see that with the rally chain. Like everyone gets a little. Some piece of paraphernalia that like a bedazzled hat or something.
Then, well, it ends with like George Will getting on a show and being like, this isn't professional wrestling, guys. This isn't professional wrestling.
With his gold rhinestone glasses on.
Right. Now you want the DH.
And say Nationals.
And you want it to be American Idol or
something. Yeah. Right.
That is so true though, because the rally monkey did make it up to like the Lakers. I remember the Lakers adopted the rally monkey and you could get, which made no sense to me. It's like, this was
why the Angels are a Los Angeles baseball
team. Well, I know, but like just every team doesn't adopt. It just was bizarre to me.
Yeah. It is interesting that MLB has seemed to have got the message that they've got something here with Tatis. This is not just a flash in the pan prospect or someone who's going to wallow in San Diego obscurity. They are pushing him. The people who are annoyed that the MLB is marketing Tatis are stupid, but they're not wrong that MLB is doing that. They do seem to be marketing.
Yeah. But also, you're also seeing his peers for the most part. I haven't really seen, maybe I'm missing it, but I haven't really seen anybody in the players, as far as like his peers, like really going after him and saying this is bad for it. They all seem, the consensus among Major League Baseball players now seems to be like, baseball should be more fun. We should be able to express ourselves. And like, I think that that way of thinking, at least on the field, doesn't seem to be this viewed as this toxic thing. And no, he's just kind of representing it.
Yeah, there's like Tony La Russa and 25 people with Yankees logo avatars on Twitter.
Yeah.
And everybody else actually seems to think that baseball should be fun.
Yeah.
So Bauer was giving him shit the other day, but even that seemed like it was in jest about the covering one eye thing. I didn't exactly understand Bauer was saying, but it seemed to be in good fun, and like they were trying to elevate the rivalry or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was big chatter on the game today, I think, about Lindor saying, "Keep being you, kid." Or, you know, everyone's always trying to mouth read.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
he was, they made it sound like it looked like he was giving Tatis encouragement to keep being himself.
How old is Lindor? 26?
27.
Yeah, I'm going to say the 27? Plus side of his 20s, but it's so hard for me to tell nowadays. Everyone looks like a kid.
Yeah, keep being you, kid. 27-year-old.
I know.
Right. Yeah, what is Manny, 28, 29? Like, come on.
Yeah. Like, they both got their major contract this offseason. Like,
yeah.
They're in some ways at the same stage of their career.
So the last few series that we've played in, like, we've played against some of the teams that are probably be in the mix in the NL playoffs. I mean, of the teams you see, the Mets are going to be around, the Cubs are going to be around, it looks like, and the Brewers, I thought they're the best team that we've played this year.
Well, they go 1-2 with those pitchers that it just feels like you're in for it with those two guys on the mound. Yeah. DeGrom, I mean, DeGrom is insane, but at least there's only one of them.
If we ended up in a one-game playoff against DeGrom, I'd just be like, well, that's great. That was a fun season. We'll see next year.
You just have everyone try to bunt on and do crazy stuff until, I don't know, what do you do?
Yeah. Oh, this is what Strasburg was supposed to be. Like that, whatever the hell that is.
Go De Niro and the fan and just fucking kill him.
just be on our team. Just come.
Come. We're having fun. We have we did the Brown thing that actually happened. Like, come on.
You guys saw the picture of Manny's shirt, right? When he was talking to DeGrom, he had like his San Diego's the shit or whatever. I enjoyed that. Yeah.
That was good. NL contenders. Are you fucking kidding me with the Giants?
Yeah. What happened there?
This is such bullshit. I like,
yeah, they're good. I mean, they're like really good.
they're genuinely good. They did no rebuilding. They did. It's not like they opened up their pocketbook. It's just like, I was talking at the top about how like it's verboten to just try to win and, see if you can scrounge together marginal improvements and become good. That's what they did, actually.
Yep.
And it's such a kick in the nuts that the Padres have to become a non-major league team for a half a decade or a decade, frankly. To get in a position so that they can then spend more money than they've ever spent in the history of the franchise to do what the Giants like seem to have fallen ass backwards into.
Yeah.
Such bullshit. It's unbelievable. And throw in fucking Kevin Gausman, this asshole. Are you kidding me? I had to watch this guy be like just good enough that you had to keep running him out there because it seemed like maybe he would make good on his prospect pedigree for 5 miserable years, and now he's gonna win a Cy Young for the Giants.
I know.
That's crazy.
Ungoddamn believable.
Yeah, the NL West must be tough for you because then you have that guy, then you get to watch Justin Turner flower
one.
Into something.
Yeah, there's another one.
We
waved him while Ty Wigginton was our starting in our infield. That was fun. Yeah, Justin Turner is a piece of shit too. The Giants really pissed me off. I mean, the Dodgers, it's like, what are you going to do? They're a behemoth. But, I mean, we have to move heaven and earth to put together a good team, and the Giants just do it accidentally every other year.
Yeah, they definitely built the team in the way that, the non-tear-it-down Orioles fans must be thinking. I mean, they're just like, Evan Longoria, let's just
Yeah.
He'll be good for 2 years. That's fine. Yeah. He is good. I mean, he's playing well. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, are they, they seem, when I watch them, it doesn't feel fluky at all. They just seem like a good baseball team. They grind out at bats.
They're good. They're defensively good all over the field. And then Buster's having that resurgence that, I don't know if he's kind of cooled off a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unbelievable, said, I mean, especially because we had Sean on earlier in the season, Sean, on the podcast, who basically spoke for their fan base saying, yeah, we're paying attention to the minor league system this year because, you know, our team is junk. And now they seem like this immovable force at the top of the West. It's unbelievable.
You gotta be kidding me with that shit. Yeah. It's very frustrating.
Yes.
But that said, see them in a first round series, not a play in a first round series. But.
Yeah. I mean, it's gonna be interesting. We have the Giants coming up pretty soon, or the Dodgers coming up pretty soon, and
right.
I wonder where both teams will be. I still think the Dodgers are gonna and the Padres are gonna just ultimately be ahead of the Giants. I don't know how sustainable this is for a whole season, but. It is frustrating. I like the idea of having the Giants, the Rockies, and the Arizona Diamondbacks just at the bottom fighting for our scraps, but
right.
Well, the Padres,
the Padres do, they must have a shitload of games against the Rockies and Diamondbacks coming up, right? Seems like we haven't been able to feast on them quite as much as you'd like so far. I think the Padres will, I don't know. I mean, what do I know? But I do. I would assume that their talent would, over time, prove out over the Giants. But hell, I wouldn't have guessed the Giants were here in June anyway. So,
yeah. Well, one topic that people are gonna start talking about, which I think is interesting. I don't know. I kind of like am done worrying about the All-Star game in general. But do you guys think that Tatis should hit in the Home Run Derby? That seems like it's going to be a sports talk radio kind of topic that we have to tackle.
Well, I'm not worried about it. If what we're worried about is like the, will it mess up his swing or injury? No, I'm not worried about that. That's fine. You can do that. Yeah. I mean, it's batting practice. I think when I've seen FanGraphs try to tackle the, is it true that guys slump after participating in the Home Run Derby? It seems like it mostly is not well-founded. So I'm fine with it. If he wants to do it, it would make watching the Home Run Derby more fun to me.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I think he needs to. Like he's right now he's at the top and he's played a significant number of games less than the other guys that are at the top. Right.
Yeah.
And the kids, we want to see Guerrero and Tatis, the kids of, you know, former major league players. Come down the last two. It's so good for baseball. That is.
It seems like it's good for baseball to have him. He should probably do it for baseball. I think that's what's the thing with Tatis now is that we have to start looking at it like he's going to be a useful asset for the whole sport. And like after an off season like this, where he was basically this, he probably will never have another off season like this, where he is the hot, exciting young thing and everybody's jumping on that.
Yeah,
maybe it makes sense for him to do it. And, you know, you've heard quotes from Tingler where he's basically saying, like, I don't think it's a bad idea for him to do it. And I mean, they don't really have a lot of evidence that that really is a determining thing for a swing. But hopefully he's healthy during that part of the season. I mean, that's the greater question. It seems like he's always like a pulled muscle away from missing 3 weeks. So I don't know.
Or some crazy slide into home on a pass ball 5 feet from the plate or whatever it's gonna be.
I bet he'll do some shit like that in the actual All-Star game.
Yeah.
He does shit like that every other night. It's crazy. Like it's more rare at this point to watch a Padres game and not see something exceptional and dynamic from Tatis than it is to see it.
Yeah.
The crazy plays that you don't see from any other player happen more often than not.
The non-slides to miss a tag, you know.
Yeah.
One last topic I want to hit before we get out of here. I just want to, you know, we've heard rumors that, or I don't know, I guess it's been declared that they're going to start really cracking down on substances that pitchers are going to be able to be using. We're seeing extraordinary pitching performances all over the league. The spin rates are way out of control. You know, I don't know if it's out of control, but they're going way up. Andy, what do you think about this story and like how baseball doesn't really seem to have a determining like policy on it? They're just saying we're going to start buckling down now. And
yeah, my sense is just that they are panicking that the run scoring environment is so low.
Yeah.
And I don't know how conclusive. I mean, I've seen the spin rate numbers that apparently can't really be explained by anything other than some sort of foreign substance or something like that, allegedly. Yeah. I don't know. Not a physicist. Don't know anything about that stuff. I've read the articles. The people who write them seem to be smarter than me and they have their opinions. So I guess I believe them. But I don't know. It's just not that obvious to me that the MLB is right, that like this is the problem and this is the reason that the run scoring environment is so low. And I don't know that how like confident that even they are in that assessment. I think it's more that the situation's bad and they're panicking to do something to fix it. And so they're just throwing this at it and we'll see if it works. I'm wary though of a situation where we have like a half of a season where we have sudden and immediate like interventions into the game all the time. And we have to conclude that 40 pitchers are cheaters and, you know, 40 pitchers get branded as cheaters. And the whole season has different teams throwing accusations back and forth at each other about who was cheating and who was cheating most. And it just seems like a sticky and complicated narrative that I don't really care to get invested in if I could avoid it.
Well, I want to ask something like, I don't know, at least in my experience, like, do you guys feel it when you're watching a game that you're actually invested in that, like, this is a brand of baseball that isn't fun enough for you? I personally don't feel that at all. I can't find a discernible difference between what I'm watching now and like 5 years ago. If I'm invested in the game and they're, you know, my team is relevant now and that's fun, but like, I'm not really fixating on style. Like, I'm not like going, this is not the brand of baseball that I grew up with. There's not enough contact hitting. There's not enough, you know, this shift is destroying baseball. I don't really feel that when I'm watching it, but I'm told that by the media. And I'm told that by a lot of people that like the game is in peril because of strikeout numbers and stuff. I guess I see the numbers and I believe them, but I don't know if it's as big of a problem as like, we're making it
out.
Your
viewing I think that's a good point. Yeah, your viewing experience when you watch it, are you just like, God, I wish there were more ground outs to second.
Yeah.
Like, I miss routine grounders to second. Like, that's so much more
exciting. If I have a rooting interest in a game, like, I'm not, whether or not it's a 13-13 shit show or it's like a 2-1 pitcher's duel, I'm not really like thinking about how I'm getting ripped off in either situation. Like, I'm not going, oh, I need more runs or I need more lower runs. You know, I just want my team to win. I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, I remember in Moneyball, there's like a section where they're talking about how, the argument about the eye test that stats guys don't even watch the games. They, you know, and scouts can pick things up. And they make a point that like the difference between a 300 batting average and a 280 batting average is only like a hit or two every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And that like the human brain is not capable of registering that difference if you were watching the at bats as they happen every day, like four times per day for 2 weeks. You wouldn't even notice who was the 280 guy and who was the 300 guy. And it's kind of like that. Like, if you actually sit down and watch the game, are you consciously aware in the fifth inning that there haven't been that many balls hit in play?
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a lot of like the new school mindset where we're so attention deprived that more hits and more runs and more contact equals a greater enjoyment of baseball. But I, to me, it's a fundamental misunderstanding of what is awesome about baseball. And if it's about when the ball's in the air, we get to cheer, like that's just being a Dodger fan. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's not that exciting. What's really exciting is watching seven innings of, you know, quick pitched baseball where, you know, not a lot of action and hitting is happening. But then when that home run happens, it feels like, you know, an oasis in the middle of a desert. And and so I don't know, like, I don't think baseball needs to change to keep up with the times. That's why it's such a great game, is it still works because of the nature of it, whether it doesn't need all that kind of modern action in it. It doesn't make it better to me at all. It just makes it like you're not as skilled. You're a bad pitcher and you're giving up a lot of runs.
Yeah.
Well, when the Royals weren't on their World Series run, there was like a lot of talk about like what a fun brand of baseball they were playing. Like, boy, these guys are bucking all the trends. They hit the ball in play more than anyone. And, you know, they're not three true outcomes guys. And look, it not only are they winning, but it's fun. And that never made sense to me because I thought those guys were assholes and I hated them and I hated watching them.
But do you remember their personality? I remember like Hosmer jumping off the, you know, the dugout gate and, you know, being excited. I don't remember a style of how they played necessarily. Were they doing something new? I don't.
It was a thing that they put the ball in play.
Okay. Small
more
ball
than anyone. Like, they were playing small ball and like they weren't going all in on three true outcomes guys. And you had, so I don't know, I guess like every other day, Lorenzo Cain beat out an infield grounder. And I mean, that's not unexciting. Like I like a guy beating out an infield grounder as much as the next guy, but I don't know that I really want to turn the sport over to make it happen. You know, to like
exactly
this idea of like the umps just like randomly walking to the mound and doing spot checks for her substances. I don't know, like just like
a power trying to figure out where it sticks.
Yeah, it just seems dust like them. Narc ball to me. I don't get it.
It also, baseball has the thing.
It's like, also, like, we hate umps more than anything now. And it's like, actually what we need is like way more ump intervention. In fact, in like very obtrusive ways as well.
Yeah.
More guys getting thrown out, more ejections, more ump time, but also we hate umps and we tweet about it all the time now. And we're doing these things simultaneously.
This is going to turn into us like, Trevor Bauer is going to get caught with a certain substance and then Yu Darvish is going to get caught with a different substance. And we're going to be like very defensive about that substance because that's going to be August. That's going to be August for us.
That was exactly what I was getting at the top. It's like, I know that's going to happen. It's like, well, this guy got caught, but like, here's why that one was BS, but your guy, that was really the
cheater. Beeswax is organic. Beeswax was organic. That's a big deal, but you use some synthetic oil-based compound that is not right.
Yeah.
Some Fangraphs analysis about like the different substances that have been found with and which ones really work. And
animal-based versus synthetic. That's going to be. Well, there's always something, you know, I think what we've learned like as being baseball lifers is that just the game is always in peril. There's always something that's destroying the game. And like, I think this is just going to be the next thing. It's always
coming from people who just, I don't think like, they just don't like baseball, which is fine. They don't like it. Right. It's fine. You cannot like baseball. I get it. I never give my opinion to people on like country music because it's just not my thing. And I don't really think that they're waiting for it.
And it doesn't need to change to make you happy either.
It's like, it'd be a weird thing for me to weigh in on. I don't know.
All right. Well, hey, hey, Andy, thanks for coming on the show again. You know, we haven't had you on. You're the red man to our Wu-Tang clan here. But we also, Andy and I host a podcast called Seal City SD. That'll be coming out probably sometime this summer. I don't know. But
we've had a tough time getting one on the schedule, but we'll do something soon.
Yeah, we'll break down all the sports arena issues that you need to know about. I mean, we miss Pechanga more than anything, Sports Arena, whatever. The Seals will be back this fall, so we'll look for that on this feed. We'll have a couple shows, and yeah, check out the Voice of San Diego podcast and the Voice of San Diego. Andy's on that every week. And well, we'll talk to you guys in a few weeks. I think we're going to take next week off because of Father's Day. But the week after that, we'll come back with some more stuff. And go Padres.
Go Padres.
Bye.